You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 26. Today I'm going to share some thoughts and experiences from my recent pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, and also a tip on how you can use holy oil for mental health and to prevent bad dreams. It's all coming up in this podcast. Thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to encourage you to go on a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you're listening to the United States, it's not that far away. It's a short plane ride, and it's much less expensive than going to Europe. And let me tell you, it changed my life. I just got back, and I'm still basking in the, what would you call it, the overglow, the post-glow of being near Our Lady and being near that beautiful story of Juan Diego and our Blessed Mother. We've got a great podcast lineup today. Not only am I going to talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe and the things that I learned there, but also we got a great tip of the week about holy oil, how you can use holy oil for mental health. And, of course, we got our joke this week, and our proverb of the week, and our Latin word of the week. This week, our Latin word is stultus. Stultus, you might know what it means. If not, stay tuned. We'll explain that word at the end of the show. Well, let's kick it off with our joke of the week, our humor. So there was this family back in the 60s, and when all the changes started happening at Vatican II and all the changes in society, they got nervous, and they decided that they would just go deep into the outdoors, deep into Montana, and buy a ranch and just live off the land, grow their own food, sew their own clothes, and just be near the Lord in nature and just avoid all the modern changes. So that family did that, and they had children, and eventually they had grandchildren, and they grew up in this isolated little Catholic commune. So one day, a newspaper in New York heard about these people, and they've been isolated from technology. They didn't have TV. They had never heard of the internet. They didn't have iPhones. They had no idea what Facebook was. And, you know, especially the children and the grandchildren had grown up completely isolated, so they didn't know anything about the modern world. So the newspaper offered them $50,000 to come to New York and to share their experience and share their story. So they packed up and they flew to New York on an airplane, blew them away, especially the younger kids. And they got a taxi and they went to this giant skyscraper where they were supposed to meet for the newspaper. And they went in there and they saw a large room, a lobby. And at the end of the lobby was a wall. And they watched as people would go to the wall, push a button, and the walls would open up, and people would go into this wall. So they got up really close, and they weren't sure what to do. And the mother said, I need to use the restroom, and she asked and found out where the bathrooms were, and she went. And a father and his son were just standing there, completely new to all of this technology. And as they stood there, an older lady, advanced in years, kind of hobbled over, and she hit the button to the elevator, and sure enough, the walls opened, and the old lady went into the room there, and the walls closed, and she was gone. So the father and son stood there looking in amazement at this, and then pretty soon the walls opened back up, and out of that same little room came this gorgeous, blonde, 25-year-old woman. And the son said, Dad, what just happened? And the father said, I don't know, son, but go get your mother. All right, there's a little humor for you. Well, hey, I'm really excited because I'm going to be traveling later this week to one of my most favorite places on earth, Denver, Colorado. I love Denver for two reasons. Number one, my lovely wife, Joy, who I love to death, was born in Denver. And secondly, there are just a lot of great people in Denver, a lot of great Christians, a lot of great Catholics. I don't know what's in the water up there or the air, but there's just a lot of great people who love the Lord, and they're living there in Denver. And it's a great diocese as well. So I'm going to be at the Denver Catholic Biblical School, and I'm receiving the Servant of the Word Award there. And I'm really humbled and honored to receive that. And I'm going to be giving four talks while I'm up there. I'll give one on Friday night. That's February 28th. And then I'm doing three of them on March 1st. And the opening ceremony is at the Grand Hyatt there in Denver, when I'll be giving the first talk. And I think that may be completely sold out. It's a dinner. But I think there is still space to join us for the three talks on the origins of Catholicism. I'm going to talk about the Jewish origins of Catholicism, how the origins of Catholicism relate to St. Paul, and then the third part, the Roman origins of Catholicism. And if you know my writings, those are the topics of my three books, The Crucified Rabbi, The Catholic Perspective on Paul, and The Eternal City. So I'm going to be doing a one-hour talk on each of those topics, and I'll be there to hang out and shake hands and sign a book if you want, and mainly I just want to hang out with you, get to know you, and answer any questions, and just have a casual, good time. So I'd love to meet you in person. If you're in Denver or you're in the Colorado area, come hang out with us. Come join us. And if you want to learn more or find out how you can register, please go to, or just Google, Denver Catholic Biblical School. Denver Catholic Biblical School, and you'll see a goofy video of me on that page. And you can find out more about everything that's going on that weekend. It's going to be a great time and a good time. And I look forward to meeting all my friends there in Colorado. In other news, we're getting the Certificate in Theology program in place for the new St. Thomas Institute. That is scheduled for March 7th. I was talking to the developer today, and hopefully we're on time. We may be a little bit behind because we're trying to push so much into it. But it'll definitely be ready in March, and we're going to have a 13-module, 12-month course earning a certificate in theology through the New St. Thomas Institute. And you can learn more, and you can sign up at newstthomas.com, newstthomas.com. And if you've already signed up, I just want to assure you, you are already enrolled for the Certificate in Theology. If you're a charter member or you're a premium member, you signed up 5 months ago or 2 months ago, you are good. Don't worry about it. I have a lot of people emailing me saying, did I miss it? I signed up a while back and I still get the certificate? Yes. We're giving first come, first serve to our charter members and our premium members at the New St. Thomas Institute. There's well over 1,000 of you now. And we're going to get you all in there for that Certificate in Theology, because there's a lot of you that want to do it, and it's going to be an amazing program. And if you want to be a part of it, it's not too late, but please sign up before March 7th. So if you're hearing this podcast, please go over to newstthomas.com. If you're listening to this podcast months into the future, don't worry. Go to newstthomas.com. I'm sure we'll have something worked out into the future as well. But it's important, if you're hearing this as this podcast comes out in February 2013, go to newstthomas.com, watch the intro video, see if it's right for you. Okay, so our tip of the week I'm really excited about. It's holy oil. You know, we have seven children, and one of the things that we deal with on a somewhat regular basis, not so much anymore, are nightmares, bad dreams. On a practical level, we found that if you really give your kids a proteinaceous meal with a lot of protein, meat, and you fill them up really good, they'll have less bad dreams. It keeps their blood sugar up through the night. That's just a practical tip. But on another level, on a spiritual level, you can get holy oil blessed by a priest. And this prayer that the priest places on the holy oil is for the healing both of your body and your mind. And I'm going to pull up that prayer right here so that you can hear what it is exactly that the priest prays when he blesses the holy oil. The priest solemnly prays this: God's creature oil, I cast out the demon from you by God the Father Almighty, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that they contain. Let the adversary's power, the devil's legions, and all Satan's attacks and machinations be dispelled and driven afar from this creature, oil. Let it bring health in body and mind to all who use it. In the name of God the Father Almighty and of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. And then he goes on to say in the second prayer that all who use this oil, which we are blessing in your name, may be delivered from all suffering, all infirmity, and all wiles of the enemy. So this is a sacramental in the church. It's not the sacred chrism or even the oil used in extreme unction or anointing of the sick. This is a olive oil that is blessed by a priest. Literally, we just take pure olive oil from the grocery store. We don't even take it out of the bottle. And Father blesses it for us using this traditional prayer. And we just keep that oil. We know which bottle is that oil. We keep it in a special place by the family altar. And the kids love it. And we anoint them on the head at night. We use holy water. And we use this oil. And if the kids are having bad dreams, they know they want that holy oil. And it's kind of a special thing in our family. And the kids know it. And it's a sacramental that they love. And I think that adults could use it as well, not only to prevent bad dreams, but to prevent impure dreams. That's something you struggle with, right? Dreams of impurity. Or also just mental health, because it calls in that prayer for a healing not only of the body, but of the mind. So if you're discouraged, maybe you struggle with suicidal thoughts, maybe depression, maybe anger, resentment, this might be a sacramental that could be helpful to you. So what you need to do is you need to buy some pure olive oil, you can get it at any grocery store, and then take it to the priest and ask him to use the Book of Blessings. We go to a parish that uses the extraordinary form, so we're blessed to have the old ritual, the old rite of the blessing of this holy oil, blessed oil, and we keep it in our house and we use it accordingly. So if you've never heard of this, great. You know, if you think it'd be helpful, great. You know, get some oil, get your priest to bless it, and keep it in your house, and I think you will find that you are blessed indeed. And you can know that as Christians, Christian means anointed ones. We are anointed. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. By virtue of your faith and your baptism and your confirmation, you are an anointed person. You are special. You are anointed. In this sacramental, not only does it bring healing in many ways, it reminds us that we are anointed in Christ. Okay, our proverb of the week comes from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. I love that little section in the Proverbs there in chapter 8. And it begins the chapter with these words, quote, "Does wisdom not call? Does not understanding raise her voice?" Question mark, end quote. So it's a question. And this verse in the proverb says, look, wisdom is calling out in the streets. Wisdom is out in the intersections. Wisdom is in your cul-de-sac. Wisdom is out in your front lawn, calling out to the world, come to me, become wise, become prudent, gain understanding. And what this tells me, maybe I'm wrong about it, but what it seems to speak to me is this. God has set up the world to call all of us to wisdom and understanding, prudence. He wants us to observe the order of the universe, the natural laws, both the laws of nature, such as gravity, but also the natural law that's inscribed in our human hearts, and to have true understanding, to gain a heart of wisdom. You know, the word philosophy means lover of wisdom, right? Sophia, philosophia. Sophia is wisdom. To be a Christian is to love wisdom. If you don't love wisdom, you're off track, right? And the Proverbs say elsewhere, you know, forget gold, forget silver, forget money, and forget wealth. What you really want to spend your time in life getting is wisdom. And God's not trying to hoard it. God wants everyone to have it. That's why it says here in the Proverbs, wisdom is standing out in the streets, calling you, saying, please become wise. Let me enter into your home. So be encouraged by this proverb of the week. Wisdom is calling to you. God wants you to become wise. He wants you to become a philosopher, a lover of wisdom, because that will draw you closer to Him through Jesus Christ. Hola, buenos dias. Man, I loved being in Mexico. I love the shrine and basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. It was such an amazing pilgrimage. I met so many great people, priests. Man, it was fantastic. And before I get too fired up and start talking about it, I want to share with you my new favorite song about Our Lady of Guadalupe. You hear it everywhere in Mexico City. It's called La Guadalupana, the Guadalupan. It's about Our Lady. Here it goes. Let's drop it. Okay, so there it is, La Guadalupana. It's about how the Blessed Virgin Mary, La Guadalupana, came down from heaven and came to Tepeyac Hill. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, I told the whole story about Our Lady of Guadalupe a couple months ago in episode 16, Our Lady of Guadalupe. But when I recorded that podcast, I had not actually ever been to Tepeyac, to the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe. And since I've gone, I have learned so much. What an amazing pilgrimage site. What an amazing miracle. So I went with Scott Hahn. He organized a pilgrimage. And it was great to be with him and great to talk theology and sit on the bus, on the bus rides and hear his thoughts on things and share and just catch up over what's been going on with us in the last few years and hear what he's up to. He's on sabbatical this year from Steubenville. And we've known each other for about seven or eight years. Anyway, we got there into downtown Mexico City. I was honestly a little bit afraid. I was nervous. You know, I live in Texas. We hear about all of these kidnappings and drug lords and crime and turf wars all along the border. And so Mexico can be kind of a scary place. I've been there before, but when I got to Mexico City and I got to our hotel, all my fears went away. I felt very safe. We walked around the streets at night. We had dinner. Everything was fantastic and great. And the first night we went to Mass at the Infant of Prague Parish in Mexico City. It was down by the Column of the Angel of Independence, not far from there. That's where our hotel was. And the first day we went and we saw, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm going to save that for last because I went several times. But one of the things we did on the first day is we went to the church that St. Juan Diego was going to when he had these apparitions. And it's the Church of St. James, San Diego. And in there is the font in which St. Juan Diego was baptized. And if you go to taylormarshall.com, and you look for the post, Photos of My Pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, you'll see a picture of me, and I've got my hand right there on that font where St. Juan Diego was baptized. And he was baptized in his 50s. He was a late convert. And I just couldn't help but thinking how the Holy Spirit, as he came down into St. Juan Diego, thought, you are my chosen one. I am going to send my spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you are going to be a messenger of mercy and forgiveness for not just a few people, but 10 million people in your own day, and then billions of people later on. That's what a big deal this was. So it all started there at that font in which St. Juan Diego was baptized. Then we went out to the pyramids that are outside Mexico City, known as the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon. And it's this ancient city that predates the Aztecs. And they have found the remains of sacrificed human beings there. So this was a place of human sacrifice. It was quite beautiful. We climbed up on top You know, the Mexican government is not as strict about the monuments as they would maybe in Egypt. The Pyramid of the Sun there in Mexico is the third tallest pyramid in the world. It's gigantic, and we climbed all the way to the top. I went up with my friend, Brandon, who was traveling with me, and with Scott Hahn, and with his son, David, and we hiked all the way to the top, and it was a great view, amazing. A little chilling to think that people were sacrificed there so many hundreds of years ago, but also a great testament to the mercy of God. Here was a place, a people, given over to idol worship and to human sacrifice, and it converted to the true faith, to worship and love of Jesus Christ, and for veneration for the Blessed Mother of God who made all of that possible. We also went to another site called San Miguel, St. Michael of the Miracle, and this is a place where St. Michael the Archangel appeared to a local native and revealed a spring of water that had healing properties, and I was able to get some of that healing holy water. I brought some home for our family and for a couple friends at my parish, and as soon as I got home, my two-year-old went ahead and drank one of the bottles of it because he was thirsty. Hopefully that water won't make him too sick. I trust that it won't. It's from the well there in San Miguel. And then we went to the Virgin of Ocotlán, and I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Please pardon me, Ocotlán. And this is a place where it's gorgeous inside. There's weddings going on there, so we couldn't walk around too much, but just gold inside. And there's a statue there that was found by a Native American and the Franciscan missionaries inside a hollowed-out tree. There's a great apparition. It would take too long to explain the apparition, but a tree was denoted, and they cut it open, and inside the hollow of a tree was a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They brought it back to the convent, and it became a celebrated place of prayer and devotion. We went to the cathedral in Mexico City, which was absolutely stunning and gorgeous. It felt like we were in Europe. It's so beautiful. The pipe organ is stunning. They just redid it, and it's absolutely amazing. If you want to see a picture of it, again, these are all at my website, taylormarshall.com, photos of everything I'm talking about. Just go to taylormarshall.com and search for photos of my pilgrimage to Our Lady Guadalupe. You can see what I'm talking about as you listen to this podcast. Also, a little secret jewel when you go to Our Lady Guadalupe, and I'm trying to sell you big. I think you need to go to Our Lady Guadalupe because it will change your life. I'm going to talk about how it changed mine. Are these things called ex votos, and they're in the museum of Our Lady Guadalupe. The rest of our tour group, our pilgrimage group, did not get to see these, and my friend Brandon Barker and I broke away, and we spent an extra day at Our Lady Guadalupe, and we were able to go to the museum. And when there's these metal signs, hundreds of them, that people have painted with their miracles, explaining how the Blessed Virgin Mary delivered them from illness or any kind of malady. There's pictures of people being gored by bulls and drowned in rivers and diseases and surgeries. And in every single one of these, there's some text explaining the miracle and then an account of how they were healed with a kind of a picture. And some of them are painted really beautifully. Some of them are more crude, but nevertheless, they're all beautiful because they're testimonies to Our Lady's prayerful power in this world. Okay, so let's talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Basilica there. So on the first day, we arrived and we went to the Basilica. And the first thing I saw as we were walking down the street towards the plaza was the old basilica, which is so beautiful. It's, it looks like something you'd see in Europe. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And as you get closer to it, though, you realize that it's really crooked. They built it on what was a marsh, as best I could understand it in Spanish, on a marsh. And over time, it's just tilted and tilted and tilted. And if you were inside of it and poured a glass of water on the ground, it would just run right out the front door. It's pretty... It's steep. You can feel it. If you're on rollerblades, you're going to slide right out of there, right? It's not a level place. And then to next to it, you see this giant, round, modern basilica, the new church, and that's where the Tilma of Our Lady Guadalupe is actually stored. And it's kind of striking. You know me. You've listened to my podcast. You've read my blog. I like traditional stuff, right? I go to the Latin Mass. I like traditional architecture. I write about that in my books, right? So I'm not too keen on the new stuff. But, you know, honestly, it grew on me a little bit. And it's in the round. And one of the nice things about that is no matter where you are in the church, you can see Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's no obstructions. And let me tell you, on Sundays, the place was packed. You know, there's always a mass every hour on the hour, and it's constantly full. And so I was grateful for that floor plan because no matter where you were, you could always have a glimpse of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then we went into that new church, and if you go all the way to the front and behind, kind of downward, there are these moving sidewalks like you have at the airport. And this is to keep people from just standing right in front of Our Lady of Guadalupe and blocking it. So you stand on this moving sidewalk, kind of like an escalator but flat, and it takes you across, and then you can get back on and go back and forth, and you can do it as many times as you want. In fact, I did it, I don't know, while I was there, I probably did it 100 times, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because you can get a really close look of the tilma, St. Juan Diego's tilma, on which Our Lady Guadalupe appeared. And it was just stunning. Honestly, the first time I saw it, when I came in, and Brandon said to me, look, there she is, and I looked into the church, we were still kind of outside in the plaza, I was like, my heart leapt. I was like, that's it. I've seen so many pictures of it. We have a reproduction of it in our living room at our house, so I'm pretty familiar with it. But just seeing her for the first time, the real miraculous tilma, was like, wow, I can't believe it. I'm really here. There it is. And as we went into the church, it was stunning. It was beautiful. It's amazing how bright the colors are, but I'll tell you, I'll be completely honest and transparent. When we got on the moving sidewalk and we're really close, you know, like 15 feet from it, I was kind of disappointed. I was amazed because it looks so, I hate to say it, dull, right? It just looks dull. The images, I mean, the colors in the image aren't as striking as beautiful. And so I was kind of like, well, that's weird. I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's, you know, 500 years old and, you know, it's had candles and lamps and oil and explosion and acid got on at one point. I mean, the history of it's really amazing. And there have been a few touch-ups. Those have been verified. So, you know, there's been some, you know, wear and tear on the tilma over time. And, you know, I kind of expressed that with Scott Holland after we saw it, my friend Brandon, some other people. But then what hit me is we went back into the main church area, and I was again like 50 to 100 yards away from it. And I looked at her again, and it was bright again. And what I figured out, and then since then I've learned reading some literature, is when you're really close to Our Lady of Guadalupe, she looks a little bit dull, but the further back you get, the colors get really bright. In fact, the image gets more beautiful, at least to me, this is my experience, the further you are from it. I'm sure there's a spiritual lesson to be learned in this. But it was quite remarkable. And so we were kind of rushed. We had to go to our next spot, and we were going to come back a few days later and spend a whole day there. But I was kind of disappointed. Like, man, I just want to camp out here and spend an hour sitting in the pew just looking at her in the tilma. Because it's just, it's like a magnet. You know, she's a magnet for your soul when you sit there. It's just really beautiful. And there's so many people there. It's a hopeful place. It's a really beautiful place. So we went, and a couple days, you know, we went to all the sites I was just explaining a few minutes ago in the podcast. But the whole time I was like, I got to get back to Guadalupe. I got to get back to the and see her. So one of the days when the group was going to the museum, my friend Brandon and I got a taxi, which is a whole story in itself. I'll just say that at one point our taxi driver pulled over and almost got in a fist fight with another guy. Anyway, we got there and back safely. It was crazy. And we went back to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I just spent like 2 hours sitting there and looking at the tilma. And it was awesome. And we came back a few days later, and I did it again. I just sat through masses and looked at Our Lady of Guadalupe, just prayed the rosary, went through the mysteries, bead after bead, mystery, over and over and over. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Something inside of me has changed. Being there, something has happened. I wish my wife were here so I could just interview. She could testify. I've come back from Our Lady of Guadalupe a new man. It seems like stresses and burdens have rolled off of me and new graces have been granted to me. I think just by sitting there and praying and thinking about and being grateful for all the gifts of God in my life. And that tilma is a miracle. It's a public miracle. There hasn't been a miracle like Our Lady of Guadalupe. I mean, it's as big as, almost as big as the parting of the Red Sea, right? More people have seen that miracle than people saw the parting of the Red Sea. You know, I can't think of anything besides the resurrection of Christ and the miracle of the dancing sun at Fatima that compares to this miracle. And I believe in my heart there are great graces there. I think just seeing that miracle God pours out through Jesus and then through Mary using the Holy Spirit into our hearts, because something happened to me there. And I grew closer to God, and I got a greater peace, and I got more excitement about life, and more excitement about my marriage, and gratitude for Joy and for all that she does, and gratitude for my children, and for all the blessings that God's given us, and our health. And I mean, I'm just such a blessed man, and being there in Guadalupe showed me all of that anew and in a fresh and a rich way. And so I want to encourage you to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's a short plane ride from the United States. It's inexpensive, right? The Mexican peso with the American dollar. I mean, it's amazing how far our money goes in Mexico. And just seeing all the faith of the people there at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. On the Sunday, I saw three grandmothers at different times. They were on their knees, moving through the plaza into the church, holding baby infants on their knees, scooting along, old women on their knees, scooting all the way to the altar to present their babies, their grandbabies, I presume, to the Blessed Virgin Mary for her blessing and protection. I mean, if that doesn't just inspire you, what would? What would? I mean, seeing these elderly women on their knees doing things that would cause me so much pain, and I'm a young, strapping male, you know? These old ladies with so much devotion and so much faith and love. I also saw men holding babies on their knees, moving forward, presenting their children to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to Jesus, through Mary. Man, it was awesome. And then also on Sunday, you can go up on Tepeyac Hill, which is beautiful. It's like a garden. It's gorgeous. And seeing families together, you know, having popsicles and eating ice cream and drinking cola and going in there to pray the rosary and just having family time. I was like, man, this is great. I wish in America we didn't have malls. We just had Tepeyacs where people could go as a family and be near God and be near the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints and the angels in this wholesome and beautiful environment. So it was awesome. I've written about it. Again, if you go to taylormarshall.com and just search photos of my pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, you can see some of my thoughts there, some things I wrote. But more importantly, you can see the pictures. And I think when you see the photos, you're going to want to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe on a pilgrimage and experience it for yourself. I'm thinking about doing it again next year. I'm also thinking about, it's not official, this is not an announcement, it may not happen. But I'm also thinking about maybe doing a group pilgrimage and just doing everything spiritual. You know, I'm not interested in the secular sites. I want to go and see everything related to the Catholic Church and to Our Lady of Guadalupe and all of these miracles and this great conversion of people who were lost and then were found. They had no grace, and then they had a treasure of grace poured upon them, and they became the great nation of Mexico. So pray about it. Think about it. I think if you go to Our Lady of Guadalupe, maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Maybe it's 20 years from now. I don't know. Put it on your spiritual bucket list. Say, I want to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I want to experience this. I want to see her. And then, best of all, pray to her. Ask for intercession. Say, please make it happen. You know, maybe your health isn't where it needs to be, or maybe your finances aren't where they need to be to go. Pray to her and say, please make this happen. I went, as I said in previous podcasts, because I made a vow. I said, Our Lady of Guadalupe, if you give me 1,000 members in the new St. Thomas Institute, if you bless us in that way, I will go to Guadalupe and personally thank you. And not only did she do that, she blessed me in really amazing ways when I was there. And I just want to go back. I want to take Joy. I want to take my children. I want them to experience this. So I hope you can hear the excitement in my voice. This was something real. This was something amazing. It was a highlight in my walk with Christ, a highlight in my Catholic faith. And I want you to experience it. I want you to have that highlight. I want you to have that intimacy with Jesus through Mary. So begin praying about it and one day make your pilgrimage to Our Lady Guadalupe. Okay, well, before we get to our Latin word of the week, stultus, I just want to make an announcement like I do every week for all of you who are members of the New St. Thomas Institute. We have up the lesson on the Last Supper, answers questions from Thomas Aquinas, such as, did Jesus Christ eat himself at the Last Supper? Yes, he did. Or did Judas Iscariot receive the Eucharist at the Last Supper? So Thomas Aquinas answers these and other questions that are really interesting and draw us into the mystery of the Eucharist. He does all that in question 81 in the third part. We have a lesson on that. We have a lesson on who can and cannot receive communion. We just put up one on Aristotle, on the difference between substance and accidents. This is a philosophical analysis. We made it super easy. Anyone can understand this, and it helps us understand not only the Eucharist, but all of reality, which is important. We also have coming up this week a lesson on the 12 mysterious actions of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So Thomas Aquinas goes through 12 elements in the liturgy of the Mass. Now, it is in the Latin Mass, and that's what we follow in this lesson, because that's what Thomas Aquinas knew. For example, why does the priest turn around and face the people five times? Why is it five times? Well, the answer is because Christ appeared five times after his resurrection in the Gospels, right? So Thomas Aquinas goes through all of these mysterious things in the Mass and ties them into the Gospels, into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then in March, we have classes on the existence of God, new atheism, how do we as Catholics answer the new atheists like Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris, all these guys, the four horsemen of atheism. We go through the eight attributes of God explained by Thomas Aquinas. We do the five ways of demonstrating the existence of God, what Thomas Aquinas calls the quinque vie. And my favorite, we have a lesson in there on the difference between philosophy and theology. You have to know the difference, right? And we break all that down in a really simple, easy way, and we give you all the notes. So if you're a New St. Thomas Institute member, please go to newstthomas.com, check out all of your new lessons, all of your new videos. I think you're really going to learn a lot, and you're really going to grow when you watch them and when you interact with others over there in the forum at the New St. Thomas Institute. Okay, so our Latin word of the week is stultus, and stultus means fool. In fact, you can say stultify, and that means to make someone a fool, stultification, turning someone into a fool. And it's the opposite of wisdom. So if you're not a wise person, you are a stultus. And remember from our proverb today, wisdom is calling out to all of us. None of us have an excuse to be a fool. God wants to pour out the gift of wisdom into each one of our hearts and into our minds that we might gain a heart of wisdom. So don't be a stultus. Instead, respond to wisdom. Also, if you'd like to learn more about philosophy, if you want to seek wisdom, I've got a free resource for you. It's a free book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages. Have you ever wanted to study Thomas Aquinas, but you're intimidated? Get this book, 50 pages, super easy. It's been downloaded. It's been received by, I think the number is like 14,000 people. It's an extremely popular book. It's a great resource. Hundreds of people have written to me and said, thank you. This is just what I needed. This is just whet my appetite for Thomas Aquinas. Thank you so much. And in the back there's of this book are resources to go to the next level and to learn more about Thomas Aquinas and Catholic philosophy. So if you haven't already, go to taylormarshall.com in the upper right corner, sign up with your email, and I will email you this book for free, an ebook, free. No strings attached. You just get a free book. You give me the email, and I'll email you the book for free. So taylormarshall.com. Don't miss out on that. And if you would, please do me a favor. This podcast continues to gain more and more momentum every single month. It's always gaining new listeners. And I'm so grateful. So many of you have written and said, hey, I've told friends, I'm spreading it. And I just want to thank you so much. You know, we're up to 140 five-star ratings on iTunes. We've had 81,920 downloads as of today. I couldn't believe it. And in case, if you want to find another podcast, if you're new to this podcast, the most popular podcast that's blown me away is the podcast Against Bitter Catholics. It's the one I did, episode 18. It's called Podcast Against Bitter Catholics. That's had over 5,000 downloads for that one podcast. It's definitely the most popular. So if you missed episode 18, make sure you go back and get it, and you can get all, so far this is episode, 26? So you can get all 26 episodes if you go to taylormarshall.com. At the top of the page, click on Weekly Podcast, and you'll see all the podcasts we've ever recorded right there. So please enjoy them, listen to them, and if you would, please rate them in iTunes. Go over to iTunes and write something nice, and you can give a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, or 5-star review. I would appreciate anything. I'm so thankful for your goodness and for everyone who's done it already. And make it easy for yourself. Subscribe at iTunes, and you'll get this podcast every single Wednesday. Okay? Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing my enthusiasm for Our Lady of Guadalupe and for listening. And thank you for inviting me into your earphones or into your car or into your workout, however you listen to this podcast. I really appreciate you. I prayed for you while I was in Our Lady Guadalupe. I specifically prayed, Our Lady, please bless everyone who listens to this podcast. Please bless them and please answer their intentions. So you were in my heart when I was there in Guadalupe, and I really do appreciate you and care for you. So thank you for all the kind notes. Let's continue to be in touch. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. La Guadalupana, La Guadalupana, La Guadalupana, Baja Tepeyac. Viva.